The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Can't believe they don't say the hometown of Dr. Ray. I asked them to do that. They didn't. Maybe it's because she was born before me. That could be. I'd have to think about that. Delighted to have you with me. By the way, the lady in the little bumper selects there who said, hoping to get some really good advice. She went away disappointed. She got marginal advice, passable advice. We didn't include that as she was hanging up. She said, well, a little disappointed here, Ray. It was passable. Delighted to have you with you. I'm going to do everything I can to give you some kind of passable advice, adequate advice, something to help you out. I can't do professional diagnosis here or therapy, but we can give a few ideas, a few nuggets. If you wish to call in, I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living professionally. Have for a long, long time. My gosh. I don't want to say how long, but Sigmund Freud was a freshman when I was a senior. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program with your questions about stuff that matters to you. Kids or people you live with or people you just really don't want to be around. You ever notice that? An awful lot of the questions concern relationships with other people. Dang, if it wasn't for the other people, I could be so much better Christian. I really could. 877-57-EQUAL. A very worn $1 bill and a very worn $50 bill arrived at a Federal Reserve Bank. They're going to be burned up. They moved along the conveyor belt, and they started talking to each other. The $20 bill, $50 bill, I'm saying, he reminisced. He had some great travels. I've been all over the place, he said. I've been to Vegas, Atlantic City, fine restaurants, performances on Broadway, a couple of cruises. Wow, said the $1 bill. You've had an exciting life. So tell me, said the 50. Where have you been throughout your lifetime? Dollar Bill says, oh, I've been to the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church. $50 Bill interrupts. What's a church? All right, I got that in the email the other day. Not a bad one. A little poignant humor there. 877-573-7825. My producer just asked, what is a 50? They make those denominations, you know. I seen them. I had a couple of them before I got married. Haven't seen them since I've been married. I got a lot of ones. My wife lets me have a 5 or 2 every so often. I wrestle with stuff because I'm a shrink. I remember one time I took a girl out when I was in grad school. We were talking about something, and she said, quit being a psychologist. Just be Ray. And I remember thinking, how do I do that? The way I think is the way I think. Now, whatever influenced the way I think is who Ray is. You can't say all of a sudden, Ray's over here and the psychologist is over here. I just think along certain lines. And this hit me the other day when I've been pondering this for a long time. I may have talked about it
some time ago on this program. Parents will talk about their kids' rooms, specifically their bedrooms. And usually they're pits. They're landfills. You don't want to go in there. They're below city health code. You've had 9 violations of EPA already. And many people look at this, as the experts tell them, as consensus of other parents says, well, yeah, that's just teenager. That's just who they are. That's what they do. You know, when they get older, they'll mature out of that and they'll take good care of their stuff. I don't buy that. I don't buy it because I drive down the street and I look inside garages. And most garages are just filled with all kinds of stuff, while the most expensive thing they own other than their house is parked outside. It's their car. I have wrestled with, and this has been my informal experience, not only with my own children, but with everybody I know or parents I've talked to. 1 out of 10, maybe, keeps their room tidy or neat or picked up. The rest of them, it varies from just sort of random dishevelment to a pigsty. As one comedian used to say, my mother was an expert on pigsties. She'd come into my room and she'd say, this is the worst pigsty I have ever seen. How many pigsties did she see? And I noticed this. And it isn't just a little bit of clutter. It isn't just, I didn't bring my cup downstairs. It's that there could be 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 cups in there of various types, dishes. Clothes are not hung up. They're on the floor. They're all over the floor. If there's a dresser, it's just completely filled with junk, stuff. Now, I suppose I could leave it at that. I could just think to myself, that is sort of the way it is. That's a factor of being 14 or 16 or 9, whatever. I think it goes a lot deeper than that. The best explanation that I've pondered for myself is that it is tied into how much and how comfortable our children are. They have grown up in a culture, in a society, even just the last couple generations, well beyond anything anybody in human history as a society has ever known in terms of options and comfort and possessions and entertainment and food and technology. So as a result, it seems to spill over. It spills over into taking care of their stuff. It's as though possessions don't matter because I have so many possessions. It's as though possessions don't matter because I can replace the possessions, or somebody's going to replace the possessions. It isn't just anything that you're primed to take care of. When I was a boy... See, I say a lot more sentences that begin like that now. I remember at age 12, I got my first 26-inch bike. It was a hand-me-down from my cousin. It had 2 gears. I mean, you had a bike with 2 gears. That was major league stuff. I would polish that bike. I'd clean it up. I would take steel wool to the little chrome rims, clean them up. Why? Well, it's the first bike I really had. You know, prior to that, I had the little 20-inchers that you put playing cards in them with clips, with clothespins that could make it sound like a motorcycle. And I thought about this. That's all I had. I mean, I didn't have a 10-speed bike, and I wasn't going to get another bike until I was old enough to buy my own or even in college. And as I recall, I don't think I ever had another bike other than that one. Now, maybe there's just a part of me that's a little bit more of a neatnik, but something has got to explain. Something's got to explain why the percentage of children's rooms are so absolutely decayed. They're awful. standard expert advice.
Well, just close the door. You know, that's their room. Just close the door.
Yeah, but it's your house. What does it say? If you've asked them to clean it, and they typically don't, or they do under duress, but within a day or two it looks exactly the same, you can't tell. There's World War II Japanese soldiers in there that don't know the war's over. There are animals and things, and some kind of, well, maybe you can use that room to discover a new form of penicillin, something growing in the mold. Why is this? It's not my imagination. It isn't just, well, you just happen to come across kids with struggles like that. No, no, I've been looking informally at the numbers here. They're off the charts. And when the experts say, just close the door, pick your battles. Maybe I don't want my house looking like that. Maybe I want my child to learn some level of responsibility with his stuff. I'm convinced that's what has to explain it. Think about it this way. You go back 100 years when kids had very few possessions. In terms of the clothes they had, what, pair of pants, two pairs of pants, maybe? One pair of shoes, maybe two? That's all they had. So if they even wanted to be sloppy, they couldn't because they didn't have enough possessions to be sloppy with. Maybe that's a natural inclination. The more you have, the sloppier you are with it. I think there's some truth to that. As I said, look at garages. So, I think it's a sign. I think it's a sign that the kids have too much. And it's not good for them. Because they're not learning to take care of it. It doesn't matter to them. Clothes on the floor, so what? It takes too much effort. It's intrusive to have to clean a room. There's more to say about this, but let me give you the number. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. I'm Dr. Ray.
If you have any problems, talk to me and I will help you.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road. Stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you for joining me. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. If you are a victim of a child's trashed room,
and you would like a couple of suggestions on what to do about it, give me a call. I'm going to probably do a Facebook little video on that relatively soon. And what we do on the Facebook, see, we have two ways of running these things. A lot of times we put the manologs up on either the website, and then there's a referral from the Facebook, or I do a little 2-3 minute video thing to put up on the Facebook. We use a lot of the same background, so some people think, well, no, that's just something that he's done before. No, it's not. I'm wearing the same shirt because I only have two shirts. My wife always goes out and buys me stuff. I go, honey, why'd you buy me that? I already got three shirts. 877-57-EQUAL. In a second, we will go to Joe. I just want to make a couple more comments about the trashed room phenomenon. You know, these experts who say, close the door. If you're going to do that, get yourself one of those steel doors that you can use, you know, to enter a warehouse, those big, powerful things. Because if you get a wooden door and there's wild animals in that room, they can gnaw through wood. That can happen. All right, so you want to get some kind of a steel door, and probably with a deadbolt, some kind of deadbolt. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I go too far. No, I don't go too far. What am I talking about? I take it as a sign of disrespect. If I have asked you to clean your room and you don't, or you give it a very, very Jewish religion approach, a Passover, and it doesn't look much different, but it's to your satisfaction, not mine. It's just, you're just ignoring. You're ignoring a very legitimate request. Please do this. Yeah, I view it as an element of that way. Okay. Sue Ann from Buffalo, New York says, all right, Dr. Ray, hey, wait a minute. We're going to show him Jesus. We're going to show him Jesus by being, well, being servanthood. Hi, Sue Ann.
Hi, how are you?
All right. Explain to me your thinking on this.
Well, I went through several years of clean up your room, me being frustrated, busy kids going different places, and them trying to clean up the room, but then the next day it would be trashed again. And one day in my prayer time, I had a little revelation that maybe this was more about me than it was about my kids, and that the person that it bothered the most was me. So what if I looked the way Jesus served people, and Jesus really didn't try to fix people. He served them. And so I thought, you know what, I'm just going to clean their rooms and not saying anything about it and not make a big deal about it. And honestly, my life from that point on got so much better, and my relationship with my kids got so much better, and my kids are now adults. They have their own homes. Their homes are very simple, very beautiful. All my kids are involved in ministry and serving other people. So in my situation, that really worked for me and for my kids.
Well, Sue Ann, I would say a couple things about that reasoning. One, Jesus obviously did serve, but he expected responsibility. And if you have a very legitimate request of your children, please do this, and they basically ignored you, blew you off. Now, does that mean they're going to grow up to be bad people? Of course not. They grew up to be nice people. You got that. Okay. I don't think there's any relationship whatsoever between the fact that you got off their case for cleaning their room and that they grew up to be wonderful people. I don't think there's any relationship there. I think the big thing is you. You lived in peace. Why? Because you quit nagging. But the problem was, if you say, I was making myself upset over this, it meant more to me than it did to them. It bothered me more than it bothered them. It sounds like it, but here's the thing. Most parents, and I don't know if this was you, Sue Ann, most parents nag and argue and remind. They don't actually do anything about it. They don't say, I'm going to come into your room on Wednesday morning for an inspection, and if it's not clean, you don't come out of it until it is. Or I'm going to come into your room Friday morning with a big trash bag, and I'm such a diss, I don't know what's valuable and what isn't, but I'm just going to clean it up. But see, they don't do things like that. Typically what we do is for years we nag the kids, and we upset ourselves, and we upset them, and it becomes a point of contention. And the experts say, pick your battles, because you have a wonderful human being. He's a great kid. So all he does is keep his room trash. So what? What's the big deal? Okay. And I always tell parents, if you want to look at it that way, go ahead. That's your business. It's your house. But if a parent says, gee, I really wish this wouldn't be, you have every right to make it not be. But I know what you're saying. And what you essentially go ahead, dear.
What I'm saying is it really blessed me to serve them. Like, I learned more, like, I grew in my faith because I took the servant role. And so that really blessed me, and I think it really blessed my kids. Like, they noticed it. Then they started picking up their room more.
You know what,
they
Sue Ann?
Started,
I'm going to argue with you. I know that's a shock. You didn't serve them by cleaning their room. You served them by being their mother, by cooking for them, and by cleaning the house, and by taking them places, and by listening to them, and doing all of those things that you did as a mother. That's where your servanthood came in. The fact that you added to it by saying, well, okay, I'm going to clean their rooms too. I think that for you was a peaceable thing to do. It was a peaceable solution. You were driving yourself crazy, and you thought, hey, end of this. I'm going to just be nice about it. I'm going to clean their rooms. And lo and behold, they were grateful. That's wonderful. I will tell you this, though. My experience is you're unusual, because most kids are not going to be grateful. They're simply going to be happy that you're doing it. They don't have to do it. So I think it would be most accurate to say what you did was something that brought peace to you and peace to your home and less arguments and less friction. I got that. But in terms of saying I was a servant to them, as Jesus would be a servant to them, I guess if you want to add 1% onto your servanthood, go ahead. But your other 99% is all the million things you did as a mother, as a loving mother. And the fact that you cleaned up the room was more just the fact that, all right, guys, I'm not going to get on you about this. I'm your mom. I'll take care of it for you. And your kids grew up fine. Had nothing to do with whether you would have or whether you wouldn't have. I think they would have grown up the same way. But I'm glad it worked for you. Always.
It did. God is good.
Thank you, dear. All the time. All the time. I just watched God's Not Dead the other night. I saw the part where Pastor Jude got killed. That was a tearjerker. Thank you, Sue Ann. Thank you, dear. Well, I'm going to jump on this next call, but I'm going to hold off a second here. I know Joe's waiting in line. Joe, we're going to get to you here in a second, but I'm noticing the clock, and I got about 1 minute before our heartbreak. Good Lord permitting, up in Augusta, Kansas. Actually, this coming, what will it be? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's going to be a mission thing at a great church here in Augusta, actually very close to Wichita, about 21 miles. If you want information on this, go to their website. Let me get to where I'm going here and find out what's going on here. I got to make sure I got this right. It is. Stop that, Raymond. I got the address. I don't give you the address, maybe. I'll just give you the. Well, I'll give you the dates. 25, 26, 27. On my website, drray.com, is the number to call if you want information. Father John Hay is the pastor there. Going to do a three-night thing in Wichita. Anything else? No, because the music is starting right now. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that. Every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Traveling for spring break? You don't have to miss your favorite Ave Maria program. Bookmark AveMariaRadio.net or download the Ave Maria Radio app on your smart device. You can listen to more than a dozen live or recorded Ave Maria radio shows wherever and whenever you want. On the road, in the line at the amusement park, at the beach, or in the evening after a productive day. Stay connected. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you realize that the kind of stuff I just said is what ticks people off? The kind of people who... they would email me and say, you know, you need to quit talking about trying to get compliments. Yeah, I know. I know. If I don't talk about it, I don't get any. There's the problem. You know how they have those signs on the road or people walk around? 32 days without an accident. Well, you got to see what these guys do over in Ann Arbor, Andrew and Eric. Up on the right of my computer screen, they have 42 days without a complimentary word. And they just keep tallying it. They want to see if they can break the old record, which was 142 days. Usually when we get close, I hire somebody to call in. Joe's calling from Virginia. Nephew is in a same-sex relationship. Wondering about, what about when they want to come to your house? Hi, Joe.
Hello.
What's the perplexing aspect of this for you?
We were having a get together, and this was the second time he brought his friend with him, and my mom and I discussing about it, not to invite our nephew, but if he ever come and bring his friend over, should we or should we not? Allowing that because we don't want to, but my sister, which is his mom, seems like she's okay. And I feel a little bit awkward.
You feel like you're doing something morally wrong if you allow him and his boyfriend in the house?
Yes.
How would you be doing that?
Just tell him next time not to bring him.
You could do that. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. But you have to recognize there's going to be repercussions to that. And if you're ready to take them, for example, my suspicion would be your sister would be quite upset because she thinks you're ostracizing her son. He might not ever come around you. He might look at you as a religious bigot. judgmental. Now, I'm not saying we don't do good, right things for fear of the reaction. But here the question becomes, as always, if you treat him as your nephew that you love, and he wants to bring this guy with him, maybe you could tell him, okay, that's fine, but if there are children here, no overt signs of affection. It would confuse the kids. They wouldn't understand it, and I don't want to have to explain it to them at age 8. You could do that.
Okay.
Or you're probably not condoning anything by saying he can come here with his friend because everybody knows where you stand. It's not a matter of, oh, therefore I don't stand there anymore. Therefore I don't have that moral perspective anymore simply because I have talked with him and his friend at this home. I have friends who are Catholic. I have relatives who are Catholic and who are either divorced and remarried outside the church or are divorced and dating someone else, and that someone else is always coming around because that's who they're with. So in that sense, they're also very distinctly morally going against the church. In their mind, it's okay. They don't see anything wrong with it. The church is wrong in her moral stance on this. And what do I do? Do I say, well, you know, you can't come to my house. Don't bring your friend to my house. Now, someone might say, yeah, that's a little different. That's a heterosexual relationship instead of a same-sex attraction relationship, Ray. Well, from a quote-unquote sinful perspective in the eyes of the church, they're both serious sins. So what do you do? This is judgment call on your part. You can do that, but recognize that there will be definitely, I think, significant outcomes that will keep you from in any way being a good influence to them, because you'll be basically out of their lives. They'll shut you out.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all righty, dear.
So
thank you.
There are consequences. Thank you.
Yeah, there
thank
are.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
All righty. Yeah, I got time. Jeff, Ohio. Interesting question here, Jeff, but it's interesting that you use the word ancient man's propensity. I think it's modern man's propensity. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you doing?
Okay, buddy. What do you think?
First of all, you're the coolest guy on radio because previously you had mentioned Antonio Carlos Jobim and Joey DeFrancesco. So,
you got that right. Now, Joey, he's taken some organ lessons from me. He has. I've worked with him. I tried to help him out a little bit. Antone, songs.
Go ahead. Ancient man, this just, I can't get past this. I can't get past the idea of human and child sacrifice to make the water run or make the rain stop or the sun come out and all these things. And all of these ancient civilizations on all the corners of the earth, it's not like it was just one civilization that did this. Is there something psychologically going on, or being a Catholic, should we consider the fact that it maybe was satanic influences?
Well, we know one thing for sure. It was lack of God influences. Kids have always been viewed as disposable commodities in much of human history and in many different cultures and societies. They were viewed as, well, disposable nothings. And women, too, in many of these cultures. Maybe not to the point of sacrifice or killing. But you said an interesting thing here, Jeff. You said, okay, they sacrificed a kid to make the river run better and the food grow better and to head off the bad weather. They had a perverted reason. They thought this would assuage the gods. So, therefore, our culture doesn't even try to assuage the gods. Our culture just kills the kids. And in terms of actual child killing, modern man dwarfs anything in history. They estimate there's been close to 1 billion, with a B, and a half abortions worldwide. And I forget
I
the
agree,
last...
But none of those abortions, to my knowledge, is somebody saying, I'd really like to have this child, but I'm sacrificing it for, you know, some sort of god somewhere. Well,
the question is,
go back to the ancient man. I don't know how they would have even come up with the idea of killing a person, and it was going to appease a god that they thought was running the universe, the nature, water, volcanoes, and things like that. I mean, did somebody actually, during a rainstorm, maybe somebody fell down, hit their head, they died, the rain stopped, and they went from there? Or was this an embedded bad idea from the evil one?
Okay.
What caused all this?
That's well put. Stay there. Stay there, Jeff. I'm going to dive into that. I love these kind of quasi-societal, philosophical type stuff. I get to pontificate. 877-573-7825. I'm Dr. Ray, 877-57-ECO. Number to call. Get on to the program.
What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The Catholic Catechism tells us the gifts of the Holy Spirit sustain us in a moral life. They are a permanent disposition, making man docile to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are seven in number: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. They are seen in their fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are perfections the Holy Spirit forms in us as first fruits of eternal glory. They are charity, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Questions on the continuum from potty training to the history of child sacrifice to pagan gods. We run the gamut here. I'm talking to Jeff. Jeff was asking, what is it about the human condition that it seems there were no shortage of cultures and societies that decided that kids, particularly babies, were useful to appease the gods? How did that come about? How did they make that link that if we give this child to this pagan god, all things will go better for us? Is that really your question there, Jeff, that I phrased that correctly?
Yeah, you're right on. It wasn't always infants. Sometimes it was a 12-year-old or even an adult.
Right. I think you got to go back to several widespread themes that seem to be endemic to the human condition. One, pretty much all cultures everywhere have had some kind of religious belief, whether it's to pagan gods, whether it is to the universe itself, whether it's to the Judeo-Christian God. There's always been, and Christianity has taught, that there's a God-sized hole in us, and we're going to seek it somehow. And if we know nothing about the God of the universe or nothing about Jesus Christ, we're going to figure out some way that there's gods out there. That's one. Two, typically these gods that we seek, whatever they are, however they get momentum and status in our culture, they're above us. They can control our welfare. They can hurt us. They can help us. Okay. So how do we appease them? What do we have to give them? Well, yeah, maybe we could give them a baby rabbit. But, you know, giving them something a lot more valuable. Hey, now, that's a big thing. Because in human history, people have always viewed sacrifice, some kind of sacrifice, to someone higher than yourself as a way of getting their good favor. Okay? At least one reason for it. So it doesn't surprise me, given how children have been viewed throughout human history, and given the status and power afforded these pagan gods, that people would link the two. Now, that said, Christianity really, and the God of the Jews, really was the first one who said, no, you don't do this. Stop it. This is wrong. Okay? I think that's a nice piece of evidence for the existence of a God as revealed in the Bible. He basically said, no. I don't want that. Do you remember when our Lord said, this is tangentially related, Jeff. Remember when he said, when you pray, don't multiply words? Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, when I was in the evangelical world, that was one of the raps against Catholics. Oh, you Catholics say 10 Hail Marys. Our Lord said you don't multiply words. Well, the context of him saying that was in ancient societies, they thought that if you addressed the gods with all kinds of superlatives, oh, most wonderful one, oh, most holy one, oh, greatest one, oh, wonderful one that's a controller of all, and they would go on and on and on and on, hoping that with all of these accolades, they'd get better favor. And our Lord was saying, you don't have to do that with your Father. He knows what you want.
Well, can we try one different aspect here?
Sure.
We believe, whenever it was, when God created mankind and embedded a soul, that mankind had the capacity to love and have empathy. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't have love and empathy for a young child or another person eventually quickly overrun the idea of grabbing people and tying them up and sacrificing them?
Well, why wouldn't the love and empathy of a Christian society, which we are, absolutely abhor abortion and say flat out, don't do it? There are religious denominations that say abortion is okay. See, to me, that's even a bigger conundrum than pagan societies. If you say, well, if we are built to love and have empathy and care, well, we also got a pretty good sin streak in us. And that sin streak is self-oriented. And if in myself I think I can give up my 3-year-old kid to the god of the sky, or Baal, and he'll treat me better, and he'll treat us all better, and he'll treat our families better, well, hey, okay. I'm not trivializing it. I'm just saying it's understandable. And I think that is one of the most significant things that Christianity has done, at least tried to do, hasn't been able to convince the majority of people or the ruling people. Let me offer you this. This is a little tangential, but let me offer you this, Jeff. Up until just a couple weeks ago in our society, if you believe the polls, the majority of people called themselves, quote unquote, I hate to use this word, it stinks, pro-choice. It was a minority who said they were pro-life. Well, when it became clear, a high profile, that there were those places that were going to say, no, we can kill a baby being born. Absolutely. And we won't even stand up if the baby would be born from a botched abortion. I hate to say that, botched abortion, that sounds terrible. Mm. From an abortion that didn't kill the baby. Well, we can let it die. That's the decision of the doctor and the mother. Now, if you believe the survey, it's half and half. There's been a dramatic shift. But even at that, much of our country is still Christian. How in the heck, if you believe those survey results, how in the heck could people say the majority of us are pro-abortion? So that, I think, is even more perplexing to me than your question. What your question is, well, how do people who were built to love do these kinds of things? Well, I basically say to you, how are people who built to love killed by the millions?
Do you entertain the notion at all that Satan is running amok right now? And
I believe that.
People's minds?
I do believe that now. I didn't. I was one that always said human sinfulness can take care of itself in terms of doing bad things. But this whole idea of what's happening now is so irrational. It's so crazy. It is so off the charts for a supposedly civilized society that something has got to be doing this. I can't explain it any other way. I cannot explain it by reason. A baby being born, and we will not say you can't let it die. I can't find the words for it, Jeff. Thank you for the call, buddy, very, very much. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray. Now, don't you feel better?
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
I remember when we found out we were expecting you, and we were so surprised.
You were?
Yep, but then we heard your heartbeat and knew you were going to change our lives.
What happened after that?
Well, you grew and grew in my tummy. You started kicking, sucking your thumb, and even making a fist.
No wonder I was a surprise.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-777. Or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the key word pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. In theaters March 29th, visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
I asked a group of parents one night, how many of you are getting the help from your children around the house that you would like? Well, I don't know. I think it was like 70 parents in a group. I think three raised their hands. The rest of the parents gave them dirty looks. I asked the parents who weren't getting the help, if not, why not? And the survey says, top three answers, easier for me to do it myself. Which seemed to be a little bit tangentially related to an earlier call, although it was more, she said it was more peaceful to her to do it herself. The second one was, they're too busy. They've got all kinds of stuff going on in their lives and throw chores in. We just can't find the time. The third one is there's really nothing for them to do. We'd have to come up with stuff. So Terry, calling from Florida, he says, well, let's look at this room problem, this ruined room problem. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
Well, you know, you're sounding like a guy on this one.
I am. My point, going back to the lady that called, what if your child decided they wanted to smoke and you kept catching them and finally say, okay, forget about it, I'll just buy your cigarettes. I mean, we're put in charge of these children to teach them the right way to do things. If they didn't need us, we'd just throw them out the door when they're 10 and they can just figure it out. But we're in charge to teach them the right way to do it, and that's our job. No matter how much they don't want to do it, they're going to do it. My kids did it, and they still talk about, oh, it was miserable. Dad made us keep our room clean. We had chores. Good, because now I see they're doing it to their children. And that's our job, is to teach them right from wrong, not just give in and take care of everything for them. That's not reality. That's
let
not going to help them in
let
life.
Me defend a caller, Terry. I will portray her perspective. She would say, I don't baby my children. I require them a lot of responsibility. And, of course, they wouldn't be allowed to smoke because that's much more serious, in her opinion, than keeping the room disheveled. That's what she would say. She would also say that, one, they turned out to be just fine. Okay, so they're doing wonderfully. They're decent human beings, and they keep their house very nicely. So she said, whatever I did, it didn't lead to a bad outcome, at least in my situation. Now, I personally agree with you. I think that, by and large, we don't really ask much of kids at all, okay? And that's part of where my problem is with the room. We're not asking these kids to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and throw wood into the wood burner. We're not asking them to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and milk the cows before they walk to school. We're not asking any of that. For much of human history, children were labor. We don't ask any of that. And so the one thing for most people that would be at the center of their responsibilities, clean your room, we don't do. Now, the caller, Terry, she said it brought peace to her to quit fighting about it. And I have no doubts that's the truth. The question becomes, was there another way to deal with it without fighting about it? See, many parents do fight about it, and they give up. They nag, they argue. So I agree with you. It is minimum that you keep your room clean, because I don't ask much else of you. I have a daughter right now. She's living at home. And I know that my wife, who is much wiser than I am, we're going to raise the rent. I'm going to inspect the room when it comes time to, she gives us money for her phone and her car and all of that. She gives us money. Well, I'll check the room, and then there'll be a fee added to it. That's the way I got to deal with it. I don't want to nag her anymore, and I've been doing that. I've just been slipping into nagging. And so I know of which the caller speaks. I don't like when I do that. And I was hoping over the past 8 months that my reasoning would be sufficient. It hasn't been at all. So, okay.
Is she
19?
Oh, see, we moved into a 55 and up just so the kids can't come back home.
She hasn't left yet. She's the only one left there. But as soon as she leaves, my wife and I will be getting into a parent protection program where they will alter our identities and locate us in northern Canada. Yeah, the kids won't find us. They'll probably do a web search. It'll take up a week or two to find us. But in that time, they won't be able to find us. Thank you, Terry, very much. Appreciate your call, buddy. Sure. Part of it is my personality. My mother was a very neat individual. I am a neat individual. That's who I am. I am a minimalist. I like less stuff and it to be neat. Well, God is a practical joker. He knew I had to get over that. Because for approximately, let's see, maybe 6-7 years before my oldest went to college, we had 10 kids at home. 10 kids. Do you realize what that smells like? Do you realize the decay and the chaos? You can't keep a house clean. You could bring in a backhoe every so often and kind of muck it out, but short of that, and I had to get out of my net, what's the word I'm looking for, net comfort zone, my neat nick, personality. But I'm drifting back now because they are not there. All right. I do appreciate the company very, very much. The church in Augusta, Kansas, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the mission is St. James the Greater Catholic Church. So it is be a pleasure to see you there. Going to do three nights. Thanks, Andrew Kruczek. Thanks, Eric Dumont. I hope you guys keep that radio room a little neater than the last time I saw it. I didn't want to say anything. I took a sticker off your system. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand. Watch out for the debris.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.